I'm not nearly as loud as Sirius. I just realized it's quiet now. I think this is the one of the mics. First one, the second one, second one. How's that? Can you guys hear me? Yes. Hello. Hello. No response from most of you. That's concerning. You can hear me. Okay, that's good. Well, happy Easter. You know what? Why don't you? We've been sitting for a while. Why don't you stand up and hug a few people around you? Wish them happy Easter. Shake someone's hand. Say hello to someone near you. Check, check. Check. That's great. All right. And as you're moving, if you want to move a bit more forward, it's up to you. You're welcome to do that. Well, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Happy Easter to all of you. It's so nice to see all your smiling faces. Thank you for waking up on the long weekend. Okay, so today I'm going to chat a little bit about personal revelation. We have a lot of really good news this morning. The first is Marcel Preston's album is finally done. Marcel, I'm going to embarrass you. Marcel, stand up, please. That's Marcel. Marcel and Ruth, they pastor our worship here at our church. And Ruth's just in the back. Hi, Ruthie. And they just led worship at our church's youth conference this week, so they're both exhausted and did a fantastic job. So anyway, Marcel's album, which has been, a couple years in production probably, right? It's outstanding. I recommend that you buy it, and you can pick them up today. Marcel's got them for $10, which is about the same price as iTunes, only you get the fancy CD with the picture of Marcel, which is also fancy. And Marcel, can you bring them the next couple weeks in case people have forgotten cash? We'll announce it over the next few weeks. As well, Melissa Berger has finished her EP, which is very exciting as well. We have so many artists and musicians here. And so Melissa, next week, will have those for you to pick up. She's undercutting Marcel. They're $5. No. So next week, bring $15 because it'll be probably the best $15 you'll spend in a while. Great music. Very great music. We're very excited, Marcel, all done. And also to Melissa. Okay, grab your Bibles or your digital devices because we're going to read a bit of scripture. I don't have too much to say. I just kind of wanted to have a little bit of a chat. Galatians 1, 11 and 12 says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So this is Paul talking, of course, to the church in the Galatian church. And he's telling them basically what I've learned and what I'm teaching you is I've received via revelation. Revelation is one of those Christian words that we often use and we throw out a lot. But essentially, I'm going to unpack it a little bit. Essentially, revelation is God speaking to me about my life and the areas of purview in my life. And essentially, I would define revelation as Timbits for me because you've heard me preach this, tell this story a couple times, but God often will tell me when I'm complaining about, the negative attitude in my work environment. He'll often just say to me, just go to Tim Hortons and buy a 20-pack of Timbits, Andrew. And it's incredible how just going and buying Timbits and putting them in my office, I'm a teacher and I work in the special ed department, and just coming in and putting a box of Timbits in the special ed department will just change the entire spiritual atmosphere of my work environment, and everyone's attitude just changes over just these, the sugar, really. And it's amazing how a little act like that all of a sudden makes a negative, confrontational environment actually relational, and friendly. People sit down or they just sit around the box of Timbits for a bit. They're talking about their day and their week, and people have an opportunity just to not just grumble and complain and go about their business, but they actually have human interaction. And all of this is encapsulated by God saying to me, just go buy Timbits. And essentially, like that I think is, you know, when we talk about revelation, I think ultimately it's God saying, you know, here is my perspective on your life, on the areas of your life, on what's affecting you and what's important to you. Amen. Essentially, that's my whole sermon. But I'm gonna like now drag that out for about half an hour. No, I have some fresh things to say. That's it. Because what I've realized is God's perspective is always unlimited. It's always that like all things are possible perspective, and regularly I lose that perspective. You know, regularly I default to Andrew's perspective, which is just what's in front of me. And whenever I'm inviting his voice into the discussion, into my life, I get like a top-down perspective. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's not so much about what's directly in front of me, but immediately it changes to, oh, I didn't even see all this, all that's ahead, all that's already come behind, and all that's working around the circumstance that's right in front of me, right? When I'm talking about revelation, I'm talking about inviting his perspective, inviting God's perspective, his unlimited perspective. Jess said something really cool once to me. I think she might have been quoting someone, but we were chatting about like, you know, God working in circumstances, and you said something, Jess, like, well, it's not over until God says it's over. Something like Jess has this way of just like encapsulating truth into like these little sound bites. She's really good at that. And I remember her saying that. Well, it's not over until God says it's over. Well, then it's not over because God hasn't said it's over. And it's interesting how God's perspective and God bringing revelation all of a sudden makes us say, oh, it's not all over. It's not the end. In fact, that there's a lot more ahead, a lot more good ahead, right? All right. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. I remember reading this when I was in my teenage years, and I was fascinated by this scripture because God's heart is that we would come to him as like the wellspring of life, right? As our source. Human beings are 98% water, you know, depending on who you're talking to. And so, of course, we can't survive without water. They say after about 48 hours, things get dangerous. And after 4 days, most humans die without regularly bringing water into their system, right? And I love that Jesus, well, the Father is saying, I'm the wellspring of life. I'm that water that you need. I'm your refreshing. And yet how many times do we, instead of going to him as our source, do we drink from these old rusty cisterns? Or these dirty cisterns. Okay, I want to be a little bit interactive this morning. I want those of you who are feeling brave to tell me some of those broken and dirty cisterns that you rely on. Yes. TV. Yeah, cool. TV is not bad, but absolutely. When we're going to that as like our source, often we feel crappy. What else? Yeah, others. Yeah, particularly when they're not bringing his perspective. What else? Food. Chocolate, which is also a food, but yes, more specifically coffee. Okay. What else do we go to feed us, to sustain us? Busyness. Maybe to placate that feeling of I need something. I just keep myself busy so I don't think about it. I don't think about the fact that I need an answer or what's in front of me. Status, like our achievements or achieving. It's interesting how like I would say all of these things that we've talked about are actually all good, and they can be very good. But when they become our source, it's amazing how immediately they become poisoned, and they become a negative input. Isn't that funny? How when we're going to our friends when we should be going to the Lord, and we're trying to draw from our friends the truth when we should be going to God, we get nothing good from them. We get all this false perspective, right? Okay, can I have someone read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Uh, Is there a volunteer who'd like to do some reading? Thank you, Jonathan. Do you have a Bible? Anyone else? Matthew, thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. In the message, it says, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you to, wants you who belong to Jesus Christ to live. And so we're like, Revelation is part of this ongoing conversation that we're having with God. Sarah and I are like, we are having an ongoing conversation. You know, if I leave for work in the morning, I give her a kiss and I leave. There's still this ongoing conversation between us. Sometimes during the day, we're sending each other emails or Gmail chatting, or, you know, I come home and we pick up where we left off. The conversation hasn't ended. We have this ongoing dialogue in our relationship. It's part of the intimacy between us, right? And in the same way, my relationship with God is ongoing. I'm constantly like Gmail chatting with him and firing off an email, and he'll throw something at me and, oh, that's really interesting. And then I have a moment and we have some real like good quality, like face-to-face time. And then I'm busy a little bit, but he's still there. He's still talking to me. I'm still influenced by that relationship in the same way I'm still influenced by my relationship with Sarah, right? 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, whoever is united with the Lord is one spirit with him. And so because we're one spirit with him, we have this continual connection with him. Jesus says in John 15, he's like, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So in the same way that like a branch draws life from the tree, from the vine, it's exactly that same relationship with him and us, right? Right? Yeah. Okay, I'm beating a dead horse. How do we get this? How do we get this revelation? 2 Samuel 7, 4, and 5, verse 17 says, that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you not the one who wants to build me a house to dwell in? Sarah was kind of touching on this. Nathan reported to David all the words of the entire revelation. So Nathan actually got a huge revelation from the Lord, lots of perspective, in a dream. Woke up and had exactly what he needed. How many of you have ever had that? You wake up and it's very clear, and God's given you like clear perspective from a dream. Yeah, it's happened to me a couple times. And then there's other times where I've woken up and I'm like, I think that's supposed to say something to me. I know that means something. How do I piece this together? Sarah had a really good message on dreams a couple weeks ago, and I recommend you download it. So that's when we need someone else to say, okay, you know, love, I need you to help me. I had this dream. I feel like it's speaking to me about work. What's your perspective? And there the revelation kind of comes together. Visions is another one. In Daniel 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. Its message was true and concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. And so this was just a moment when he was kind of caught in some godly perspective. And I think there are multiple kinds of visions. I think there are the kinds of visions that you can intentionally pursue in like a moment of prayer. God, help me to see your perspective. And God draws us into something. And then there are other times where God will show me something with my natural eyes. And it's kind of like superimposed on reality. How many of you has ever happened to you? So let me give you an example. Once I was on the subway, I went to the University of Toronto, took the subway every day, and I was on the subway once, and I remember this really explicitly. There was a man on the subway who was obviously unwell, probably mentally unwell, and he was yelling and bothering people, and it was early in the morning, and I just felt, you know when you, like, you're confronted with mental illness in society, we don't really know often what to do, and I was feeling uncomfortable, and I was kind of like, oh, God, what do we do, you know, and he was on the other side of the subway. And it was amazing how, just like interacting with God, you know, I have that ongoing dialogue with him. Immediately, I was still seeing the subway. I'm still seeing him down there. I'm still seeing him, like, you know, bothering people. And my perspective changed because I invite his perspective. And I start to see angels in the car. I don't often see angels. I don't often have, like, those kind of things. But just inviting it was one of those moments when it happened. And so I started saying, okay, God, like, what are the angels doing? Go, angels, you know? Woo! And I just started praying. And over the course of about 3 or 4 minutes, he started settling down and ended up sitting down. And then I got off the subway later. And I think that was half, you know, God bringing peace to him, but half God trying to teach me something about his perspective and wanting to give me actual literal vision in a moment and show me this is what it looks like if you look at it from my perspective. Because in fact, God had actually set up the circumstance and I just couldn't see it initially because of my human reaction. And what I really needed was some kind of kingdom perspective. So vision's another way that God gives us revelation. Another one is through journaling. There's a passage in Habakkuk that we often quote here at our church, where God tells Habakkuk, I'm giving you some stuff, write it down. And so journaling sometimes is like, you know, us sharing our experiences with God. You know, you grab a notebook and you share your experiences or your thoughts or your kind of internal dialogue with the Lord. And then often for me, God is immediately like, oh, I have something to say. Sarah often says that God is really chatty. And I find that if I start conversing with him, it takes time, but if you can really easily hear him start speaking back. Sometimes it's just like in impressions and thoughts, and occasionally it comes in like words, or as you develop that into like paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs, because God's often got a lot to say. And so journaling is another way that the Lord really wants to speak to us. This is a really holy one that I find really, really helps me. It's in the shower. I don't want you to lust, so don't think about me in the shower, but I want to just tell you that one of the ways that I often get revelation is, I'm not kidding, is in the shower. I will often be like, you know, like shampooing or something, and stuff starts coming together, and I think part of it is there are no distractions really in the shower. You're kind of just like, it's the water, and I'm relaxed because, you know, there's the hot water. And it's so funny. I can't tell you, like, Simeon and Sarah hear a lot of this because, you know, they hear a lot of my life. And so I'm often telling them, I'm like, oh, this idea came to me in the shower, or I totally realized that I made that silly mistake, or I see now, or brushing my teeth as well. It's funny how just not being distracted by anything around me, I start getting revelation. It's like, God's like, finally, I can talk. Because all these other things have shut up for a moment, and I can kind of provide some perspective, right? What does God want to speak to me about? I found that God really wants to speak to me about what I care about. Whatever's important to me, he wants to speak to me about. So if I'm really concerned about that person I work with, God often wants to speak to me about that. God wants to speak to you about what's important to you. God doesn't trivialize what's important to you, even if you think it's trivial. He doesn't think it's trivial, because he's such a good father, right? I love watching toddlers when they just start developing language. And what's that? Yeah, I love that. I love it when they just start developing language because they're starting to communicate what's happening here. They're trying to realize, okay, I can actually say what's happening in here. So I was afraid, or ow, this hurts. You know, and it's interesting watching parents start to develop language with their children. You got an owie, like owie, you know? Oh, you have an owie? Where's the owie? And I feel like the Lord is like that with us. Sometimes I feel like such a toddler. I feel so incapable of properly communicating what I want to say. And yet God's like, he's totally willing to get down on my level and say, okay, do you have an owie? Where's the owie? Where is it? What's important to you? So don't trivialize what's important to you, because God's really interested in what's important to you. He really, really wants to get down on your level and say, okay, let's talk about it. Absolutely, he doesn't want to just sit there and cry with you about the owie. He wants to help you with the owie. You know, let me kiss it better. Let me disinfect it. And so God cares about what you care about. So take a moment. What do you care about? What's on your heart right now? What's like on the plate right now? What's pressing right now in your life? Because he wants to speak into that. He wants to give you his perspective, his unlimited perspective in that. Sometimes God wants to speak into, you know, what we care about. Sometimes he wants to speak into just the banality of life. You know, I remember another subway story. I remember if you've ever really taken the subway, you take it regularly, you take it at the same time, you get really good at knowing where to stand, like when to get to the subway, and then B, you know where to stand, like on the platform, the doors will come to the right place, and then when you get off, you'll be like right at the stairs, and you can book it up to the stairs, and then take the other. You know what I'm saying? How many of you are like that? You've done that, yeah. So I got really good at that, particularly because I would take the same route every day, right? Once the Lord said to me, he's like, Andrew, let this train go by. I was like, I planned it all like perfectly, and it was just like one of those. It was like a little like fleeting kind of thing, you know, that I could have just rejected, but I was like, I don't know, is that you, God? Maybe that's you, God. I'm learning how to hear your voice, and it's this ongoing conversation. Sometimes I get it wrong. Sometimes I get my conversation wrong with Sarah, but for the most part, okay, well, I'll just give it a try. So I had my, at that point, Discman, wow, and I'm aging myself, and I'm like, I'll just go to the next track. push the button to go to the next track. Yeah, I couldn't really move too much. And so I just kind of sat there and like had some fun with the Lord. And what was interesting is that that train ended up stopping at a station, like a couple stations ahead of me. And the next train I go out on actually had to bypass that train because there was something wrong with that train. And so it was kind of interesting. I'm like, I don't know, Lord, like, were you trying to help me avoid some, like, another delay, a further delay? I never really got an answer to that one, but it was kind of like the Lord just wanted to speak into my day, and he said, just wait for the next train, you know, and in the end, there ended up being a delay. I know there's been, like, so many times where the Lord has done that, these little things in the moment where I get that little voice that's like, hey, do this, or take that route, or do that. And at another point, this is probably about 10 years ago, but this was one of those moments where it really stuck out. I was out in Brampton, and this is when I was still living with my parents in Woodbridge, and there's this basically like one road that connects Brampton to Woodbridge, you know, kind of in the northern part of Brampton, and I was taking that road, and it takes you through just like country. And I was taking it late one night, it was about 1 a.m, and the Lord's like, stop to get gas. I was right near to empty on gas. God's like, stop and get gas. Get back in the car. I start driving, and it's one of those circumstances where it all happens in slow motion. I'm approaching, there's a car in front of me. I'm approaching an intersection. That car starts going through the intersection. Out of nowhere, a tanker truck comes out, clips that car. That car does a couple flips. I slam on my brakes. I slide into the intersection. And it all happened in slow motion. So I pull over, I get out. I just done my first aid. So I had like all my first aid, you know, lingo ready. And I'm like praying. You know, I help her. We call 911. All the circumstance happens. I start driving home. I didn't think about any of this, right? I start driving home and God's like, A, I wanted you to avoid the accident. But B, I wanted you to be there to provide some help in the accident, right? Because it was just the two of them, right? And both of them were highly injured. And it's just like, in retrospect, like I see it now that like God was kind of setting all that stuff up. The time it took me to pump the gas was exactly the time I needed to be there to help, but also maybe not so much to get involved in the accident. You know, not that God couldn't have avoided it for her. I don't know. Like sometimes we just don't know these things in the mystery of God, but I thought it was kind of cool the way God worked all that out, right? God wants to speak into even the banal things of life, the route you take to work, where you stop for gas, you know, what food you buy in the grocery store. God wants to speak into that kind of stuff. He has his unlimited eternal perspective, right? Okay. What else does God want to speak to you about? He wants to speak to you about areas where you have influence and authority. So, you know, for instance, if you don't have influence or authority over a nation, he's likely not going to be saying too much about that. But he'll want to say a lot about your life, your family, your friendships, your workplace, your finances. One of the things that Sarah and I often ended up having to do with young adults in particular is redirect what they're listening to back to themselves. Because sometimes in our zeal to kind of hear God and learn what it means to kind of start hearing his voice, we start hearing for all the people around us and very easily correcting them, but rarely turning towards ourselves. And God actually wants to speak to you about you and where you have influence and actually empower you and give you his perspective about where you have influence. So again, back to the Timbits, right? God wanted to speak to me about my workplace. What else does God want to speak to us about? He wants to speak to us about each other. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "What shall we say, brothers, when you come together? Everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction or a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church." So in fact, you bring something, you bring a piece to the puzzle of the body of Christ that no one else can bring. So like Sim this morning, bringing like just some fresh perspective on what Easter means was so refreshing for us, right? How many of you really liked that? That was so good. That was really, really good. And it kind of awoke our hearts again to Easter, this thing that we hear often, and the bunnies and the eggs and the cross, right? It becomes trivial, and yet it's so cool how just some fresh perspective from God via Simeon's lips actually awakens our heart again, and we can see what Jesus has done for us. We can see God coming to earth again, and it's real. And so God wants to speak to you for the people around you as well. And then how do I tell if it's God? Galatians 2:1-2 says, "Then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation. And meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. We need each other. We need each other as the plumb lines. Sarah and I often are bouncing off each other what we feel like God is saying, and we give each other permission to say, it's a little bit off. That's just a little bit off. We give each other permission to say that. And one of the reasons why we run our church as we do, in small groups, is because it's easier to say to someone, I think you're a little bit off, if you know them. I can sit down with you, not knowing you, and say, hey, I think you're a little bit off in this area. And it's much more difficult for you to take it than if I know you, and you're my friend, and you know I've got your back. Then I can say, hey, Marcel, I think you're a little bit off. And Marcel knows, okay, Andrew loves me. It hurts, but Andrew loves me. Maybe I misheard God on that. Maybe I'm hearing some other stuff instead. Maybe that revelation that I had about having 7 wives isn't exactly right. Thanks for the perspective. Not that Marcel has 7 wives. Okay, I want to just chat about a couple of more things, and then we're going to do a little activity. Be ready. Many of the prophets received revelation while they slept, so keep a pen and paper close to your bed. Capture your thoughts. If you're in transit, stop and write the thoughts down. How many of you have ever read John and Carol Arnott's book, The Importance of Forgiveness? In it, Carol talks about how when the Lord really started to speak to her about, living in forgiveness, she had quite an abusive upbringing. And as she kind of started working on, conversing with God, living in this conversation with God, God started saying some important things that she needed to forgive her family of. She was realizing that forgiveness is so important, and it actually releases her. When I forgive, it releases me. Forgiveness is really important for me. So anyway, she's walking through forgiveness, and it ended up being like months and months and months of this. And one day she was vacuuming, and God said to her, hey, you have to forgive your mom of that one thing. Remember that thing like 25 years ago? You have to forgive her of that. Just another little thing, in the list of things. And she's like, oh, I do. I have to forgive my mom of that. Let me just finish this vacuuming, and then I'll do that. So she finishes her vacuuming, and she comes back to her. She's like, oh, what was that thing that God said? What was that? There was that thing. What was that thing? And it was gone. And she made a really good point, which was said in a different way. Procrastination assassinates revelation. When we wait and when we put off or we don't honor what God has said, sometimes it just disappears. I'll say that again. Procrastination assassinates revelation. And I realize this in my own life. There are those moments when I'm in the shower and I'm like, oh yeah, I totally need to do that. One of the things I start doing now is I put down a towel and I'm like, iPhone, write it down. Okay, let's finish the shower. Because I don't want to lose it. Because I'm learning to honor what he's saying, I'm learning to honor his perspective, honor it when he gives me revelation, and not just treat it flippantly. And Carol said it really interesting. She said, what happens is just the busyness of life, these things, they rob us of those things God says. And before we know it, that thing that we treasured in the moment is gone. We're like, what was that? What was that thing he said? Oh, I wish I'd written it down. How many times are we like, I wish I'd written that down, right? Often I'll talk with musicians and songwriters, and there's so many times where musicians and songwriters are like, oh, the lyric that got away, or that melody that I wish I would have just recorded in the moment, or how many times does that happen, right? In the moment, we get that moment of inspiration. And actually, the word inspiration comes from the Latin inspire, which means to breathe into, which is what the Lord did to Adam in Genesis. In the Latin Bible, inspire is what God did to Adam. Inspire, in breathe. So when we receive inspiration, we're getting revelation. We're getting the breath of God in us, giving us life in the moment. And it's exactly the same way in these moments. We need to take hold of them. So carry a little journal with you, or put one beside your bed, or keep something handy. Or one of the things that Sarah and I will do if we can't is we'll tell each other in the moment. Okay, remind me to talk to you about this thing God said to me. It's really cool. And then later on, we'll come back to it. What was that thing God said? Oh yeah, okay, help me unpack this. Help me understand this, right? All right. Okay, so stand to your feet. It's, I don't know, it's authority. Okay. So if you could, put away things that are distracting you. So if you have a digital device or a spouse or something, just don't be distracted. Because it is now 11:53 and 34 seconds, and I promise to be done speaking by 11:59. So if you'd be willing to give me 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, I feel like some fun stuff. We're going to do a little bit of fun stuff. So what I wanted to do firstly is, you know, I want us to respond and say, God, again, I'm welcoming your voice. I'm welcoming revelation. I'm welcoming your perspective, particularly in areas where I've been drinking from these dirty cisterns. So when I've been just grumbling with everyone else at work and trying to feed from that, okay, God, I need your perspective, right? So just in your own way, you respond to him. Just close your eyes and in your own way say, you know, God, like I welcome your voice. I welcome your perspective. I welcome revelation for my family, for the financial issues that we've got going on right now, for that person that I can't stand. God, for my own frustration and my own shame and God, like all these dreams that I'm kind of waiting for fruition in. God, I'm going to welcome your voice again today. So just take a moment, you and him. God, I'm welcoming your voice. Just say that in your heart. And also welcome his voice in the areas of triumph in your life. God, I want to welcome your voice where we're in strength right now. Because, man, okay, we're doing really good financially right now, God. I welcome your voice. How do you want to continue to grow us? God, for these great friendships I have, I welcome your voice. How can I contribute? How can I partner with what you're doing? God, for my ministry at work, in this church, in this body, God, I welcome your perspective. What do you want to say? And you know, he may be saying things now, but he may just be like, hey, thanks. I was waiting for you to to welcome me back in. Holy Spirit, come right now. Lord, I thank you that we're one spirit with you, and that can't be changed. Thank you for what 1 Corinthians says. He who unites himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. And so our spirit is your spirit. We have your spirit inside of us. And so we have that living water inside of us. We have living, true revelation inside of us. And so, Lord, come right now and inspire us. Breathe into us the breath of life. Give us godly perspective. Thank you, Father. What I want you to do now is I want you to pick one particular area, you know, amidst all these that we've kind of been praying a little bit about. You know, whether it's an area of strength or an area of need or whatever in your life. And I want you to specifically ask him for input. In the same way you'd ask like a friend or a close friend or a spouse, God, I need some input in this area. And what we're going to do is we're going to wait a little bit, and he may speak something right now. He may give you some of these things we talk about, a vision, and or if you've fallen asleep because of my message, you may get a dream. Or, you know, he may remind you. Sometimes the Lord will speak to me through, like, he'll remind me of a scripture. He'll remind me of a character in fiction. Sometimes he'll remind me of a movie. Sometimes he'll remind me of a circumstance that's happened in the past, as if to say, hey, I want to avoid that, or I want to duplicate that good that came out of that circumstance. So take a moment with your eyes closed and just say, okay, God, you know, for instance, here, how about this? How about this circumstance? This area of need, or this area of strength, or this dream, or this person. Here, God, I welcome your perspective specifically regarding this today. And I know you want to speak. I love that Psalm 139 says, God's thoughts for us are as numerous as the sand on the seashore, like innumerable. He has so many thoughts. So God, share some of those with me today regarding this area. I need your perspective. Let's just take a minute. Just welcome that. Come, Father. For some of us, he's reminding us of things he's already said. Reminding us of, you know, things he said about us, who we are, what we're capable of in him, how nuts he is about us. I feel like a few of you are actually getting really specific ideas regarding money, like pay off this bill first. Put that money in that account. Hey, give money to that person. I feel like for some of us as well, like God's saying to us, like you said to Carol, hey, you need to forgive that person of these things. Here's the list that you so meticulously kept. Why don't you do that right now? Just say, okay, God, well, you've forgiven me of so much, God. I choose to forgive that person of all these things. So take a moment. If God's saying that, just work through that forgiveness. For some of you, he's like expanding options. You know, where you had this dream and you've kind of been pursuing it in one regard. I feel like God is giving you other options, like bigger options. Like, oh, well, why don't you try knocking on this door? Or don't limit yourself, my daughter, in this area. I've got more. God, thank you that you get down to our level. That you're very, very interested in what we're interested in. You're concerned about what we're concerned about. You're excited about what we're excited about, God. And Father, this week I ask that your voice would be loud and clear and that you would give us pause to listen. You'd give us those moments in the bathroom and on the subway and in transit and before we go to bed. And just those moments of quality just hearing you. And we welcome you, God. And we thank you that you're dying to speak to us, God. And Father, we are so thankful for Jesus. Thank you for Transformer Jesus. Thank you that, you know, you crammed yourself into a human body, God. And you changed all the rules. You changed all the rules. And you gave us everything that Jesus earned, like we earned it. You gave us unlimited power, unlimited grace, everything we need, God, as if we'd earned it, but we didn't. We thank you for that today, God. And so, Lord, I thank you that we're powerful, and we leave this place as powerful people, one with the God who holds all things together. Help us not to lose that perspective, Daddy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hug a few people around you, and then buy Marcel's CD. And then have a very blessed Easter. Thank you so much.
I'm like, how do you know?